May we be helped to commence our morning service of worship by singing together hymn 303. Hymn 303, tune Honningside 514. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the raging billows roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Saviour, hide, till the storm of life is past. Safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave me not alone. Still, support and comfort me. All my trust on thee is stayed. All my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing. Commencing to sing at the second verse, tune Honningside 514, hymn 303.
Amen.
Let us read together from God's holy word in the Epistle of Paul to the Galatians, chapter 2 and chapter 3 down to verse 14 inclusive. Galatians 2 and the first 14 verses of chapter 3. Before I start reading, though, in this chapter 2 we have the Apostle Peter being admonished by the Apostle Paul. And the sin of one is left on record not to throw stones, but to be edifying to us. And we must remember that back in the Gospel of Luke, we have the Lord said unto Simon, that is Simon Peter, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And so we still see the tender care of the Lord keeping Peter. Peter, preaching the gospel, fear of the Jews allowed those things which were of men, those things which were of the law, to be creeping in beside the gospel. So, Galatians chapter 2. Then, 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem, and with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run, or had run, in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of those who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them, that were of the circumcision. And the other Jews assembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly, according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, are not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you: received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. The law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We'll leave the reading there. May we be helped to pray. Almighty Triune Blessed Jehovah, may we bow and worship. Dearest Lord Jesus, thou didst pray for dear Peter. And we read that precious prayer of thine left on record for us to read in the 17th of the Gospel of John. Father, I will that all they which thou hast given me be with me where I am. Thou dost pray to thy Father to keep them as thou hast kept them. O dear Lord, the precious work of a triune Jehovah, those precious souls been given unto thee, the Holy Spirit's leading and teaching, thy keeping, the Heavenly Father's keeping. And so here we see dear Peter kept through the ministry of one whom thou didst so clearly raise up, one that persecuted the church, turned into a fervent minister of the church. Lord, thy ways are so far above our ways, thy thoughts above our thoughts. O Lord, thy ways are perfect, past finding out. It's left on record to instruct us. Lord, keep us, Lord. Please keep us. May we not be left to any form of error, dear Lord. We see there the error being those things being added to the simplicity of the gospel. Those things that the Jews complied with, expecting others to comply with them the same. But no, the gospel's free. Free from these trappings. Free from those things fulfilling the law, as thou hast fulfilled the law perfectly for thy people. O dear Lord, grant us to feed on the simplicity of the gospel. Grant us ears to hear. Grant us hearts to understand. Lord, open thou our understanding also. We pray thee. Lord, cause thy word to enter in. May thy Holy Spirit take it and open it to our hearts, Lord, to our understanding, that we might see the precious treasures couched beneath. That these words, Lord, within thy word, might be added to that little Bible bound up in our breast, of words made precious to us. Lord, teach us, we pray. Lord, we have much to thank thee for. Lord, we thank thee that we are able to gather in thy courts. Lord, we thank thee for the peace and tranquility of thy courts and thy word being openly provided. O Lord, do please cause souls to enter in. Souls, Lord, that have been elect vessels of mercy from before the foundation of the world. Souls whom thou wilt bless indeed. And dear Lord, leave none out here, Lord. We pray thee. Leave not a hoof behind, dear Lord, we plead. From the youngest up to the eldest. And oh, dear Lord, one solemnly realizes one is the eldest. Oh, Lord, in mercy, lead us, guide us, direct us. Teach us, bless us, we pray. Remember our sister Beryl, afflicted, Lord, in hospital. Lord, please, we pray thee, heal her, strengthen her, favour her with a visit of thine own dear self, and lift her up in her spirit, we pray. Help our brother deacon as he preaches at Leatherhead, his dear one attending with him. May he know thy help. May they know, Lord, the power of thy word given to the preacher, and how we have to acknowledge, Lord, where thy word does any good, it is where it has been sent forth by thee. Where the preacher has been made an instrument in thy hand, not of himself, but all praise belongeth unto thee. And so we ask, dear Lord, that as thou hast so mercifully provided ministers for thy house here, Lord, one coming up amongst us this evening, that, dear Lord, thou wouldest guide, that thou wouldest direct, that he might be found speaking that which thou hast given him. Bless us, Lord. Oh, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. as in the day of the provocation. Lord, soften our hearts. Make us willing to hear, Lord. Willing to obey. Willing in the day of thy power. So please, Lord, come. Help us this day. May we prove that that which has helped is read, Lord, is thy appointment. Lord, may we prove that thou art in all things to thine honour and glory. So we pray, dear Lord, come quickly. Come and bless souls, Lord. We read of thy meeting with that woman by the well. That response that thou didst give to the disciples, thou hadst meat that they knew not of. Lord, thou didst feed on the pleasure of saving another soul. Lord, may we feed on the pleasure of souls being blessed and saved and added to the church. Lord, thou canst do it. So, dear Lord, come and bless, we pray. And dear Lord, we are instructed to pray for those that are our rulers. The reign over us, Lord, rule over us. Lord, we pray that thy hand might be upon them, that they might be so guided by thee to do that which is right in thy sight, that which is right, dear Lord, and a help to thy dear people. That which turns this country from its solemn state. Turns us from sin. Lord, turns us back to the law of God. That our rules, which were once founded upon thy word, Lord, might once again be kept in this land. We hesitate, Lord, for what must it take to bring us back. That thou art able. Now, Lord, please forgive. All we ask him is, please bless the services of thy house this day. Help us in all we attend to lean hard upon thee. We have sung, other refuge have I none. All my help must come from thee. Lord, grant it, we pray, and grant thy Holy Spirit's blessing and application of the word. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. the notices for the opening week are that, God willing, Mr. John Hart will preach on Tuesday evening, Mr. Robert Field next Lord's Day evening, and as hope there will be a red address during the prayer meeting next Lord's Day, and a red sermon during the morning service. Next Lord's Day is also the appointed day for our monthly collection. And this evening, Mr. Marcus Funnell is engaged to preach. May we now be helped to further continue our worship, singing part of hymn 1149 to the tune Church Lane 735. I will read the first two verses and we will commence singing at verse 3, 1149. What think ye of Christ? Is the test to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. As Jesus appears in your view, as he is beloved or not, so God is disposed to you, and mercy or wrath is your lot. Some take him a creature to be, a man or an angel most. Sure, these have not feelings like me, nor know themselves wretched and lost. So guilty, so helpless am I. I durst not confide in his blood, nor on his protection rely, unless I were sure he is God. Hymn 1149, commencing to sing at verse 3 to the tune Church Lane 739. A sermon preached in January 27, 1927, by Mr. J. K. Popham, from a text that you will find in the 6th chapter of Galatians, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. Galatians 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. This word struck me after this morning's service, so as to remove the thought of resuming this morning's text. I thought I saw some beauty in this word, something absolutely necessary for us if we are to go to heaven. The word that grew out of the opposition the Apostle Paul met with from Judaizing teachers. These Judaizing teachers taught the Galatians that they must needs be circumcised or they could not be saved, that they must attach Moses to Christ, works to his infinite merit. And the Holy Ghost moved his servant Paul to write this letter, full of divine severity, of divine mercy and compassion. Divine severity in that these churches of Galatia were very sharply reproved for the readiness with which they turned away from the gospel to another gospel, which the apostle says is not another. And solemnly does he say, though we are an angel, preach unto you any other gospel than he have received, let him be accursed. If ever we get by the Holy Ghost a true view of the importance of the gospel, we shall enter a little into that solemn word, let him be accursed. So great was the gospel to Paul, as that any conduct that in any degree impeached the gospel and took from it its glory in any measure and added to it anything of the law, that he withstood Peter openly, who had been guilty of an inconsistency. Peter may well say, but it was not much that Peter did. He just gave way to the prejudice of the Jews and declined to mingle with the Gentiles. But then Paul saw this, that act of Peter was bringing the law in, that it struck at the blessed truth of justification, that it interfered with the freeness of divine grace. If we do get divine teaching in respect to the gospel, its freeness, its absolute exaltation above and its independence of everything, system, practice, hope, that would mingle with the glory of Christ. The apostle says that is another gospel, which is not another. Beware of anything that comes into the gospel which is not. It is another. Beware of every bit of practice that in any way reflects on the glory of Christ. By the cross of Christ in the text, it would seem from the whole of this epistle that the apostle gathers the gospel as he had preached it, the covenant made of Abraham, which meant Christ. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed, not seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed. He shows that this covenant, though not fulfilled openly for 430 years, in the deliverance of Israel from Egypt, was not interfered with, not made invalid, not weakened in any degree by the long delay. If you get a promise, you may be very troubled at months of delay or longer. But the thing is settled. What God has said is true. Quantities of trouble may come in. Long delays may try you and put to the test, as it were, God's word. But the thing spoken is true and will come to be known as true in the long run. Hold fast, says Paul, the beginning of your confidence to the end. So that this word, the gospel of Christ, is a comprehensive word. As I view it, it means the person of Christ, the covenant of grace, and the operations of the Holy Spirit making Christ known. And in this, the apostle said he would glory, and in nothing else. No practices of religion must interfere with this. No legal hopes must be grafted into this. No natural covenant must come into this. It stands alone. The glory of God is in it. The glory of Christ's person is in it. The glory of his obedience is in it. The glory of his death, is in it. The completeness of salvation is in it. Everything necessary for life and godliness, for time and eternity, is in the cross of Christ. Just think of all this, dear friends. All the immortal interests of a sinner here. All the good a sinner can need here. All the greatness of God to be revealed in him is here. All the communications of God to him are here in fullness, in the cross of Christ. Seeing this, you won't wonder at the Apostle Spirit, at his exclusiveness, at what men would call today narrowness and bigotry. You will, under the leading of the Spirit, see that Paul's glorying in this was his greatest honour, his greatest strength, his truest wisdom. What a subject. No wonder that he, knowing what he did of Christ and him crucified, should say to the Corinthians, who were torn with factions and schisms, "I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." A ministry is useful not by its variety only. Very desirable a variety is if it is of the right kind. But a ministry is useful as in the unction of the Spirit, the Lord Jesus is its theme. Christ and his cross is all our theme, says Dr. Watts. And that should be the feeling, the aim, the end of every minister of Jesus Christ. And the severity of this epistle is vindicated in this way. That what catches nature, religious nature, is of a dangerous kind. Oh, how attractive would this be to the Galatian churches? You need not renounce Christ, only add this to him. You need not say you have no hope without him, just add the Lord to him. But, says Paul, if you add the law, you do away with the gospel. If you are circumcised, you put yourself under the law. If you make yourself a debtor to do the whole law, you have nothing to do with grace. If you bring in the law, the two are opposed. The one cannot be with the other. It is law or gospel, not law and gospel. May you, may I, in the light of the Spirit's gracious teaching, see this important point. Never think anything little that belittles Jesus and his cross. Never think anything unimportant that attaches anything to the Saviour. He is the Saviour. He is the Saviour. And says Paul, if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. If you put yourselves under the law, then you go away from the gospel. Well, sinner, what a gracious instruction this is. What an encouragement this is. Need I do nothing by the law? Need I bring in nothing of the law? Am I to be delivered entirely from the law, so that it shall be as a schoolmaster who is taught the lesson he had to teach, and then there is no more use of him? Yes. We are no longer under a schoolmaster when we have living faith. No longer need we the teaching of the schoolmaster when the lesson he was sent to teach and to impart we have received. And if one says, "Oh, I must bring the schoolmaster in, I have forgotten nothing." These Judaizing teachers speak so in effect, then says Paul, "Ye are fallen from grace. You retain your profession. You do not retain what you think you do. Be exclusive. Be narrow. When narrowness means cleaving to Christ. Be exclusive when exclusiveness means there is none but Jesus. None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good." Dear friends, Paul says to Timothy, there is one God. What a truth, one God, with whom we all have to do. One God, against whom we have all sinned. One God, whose holy and just law we have broken, whose justice and claims on us in his law we have outraged. One God before whom we stand. The realization of this becomes a terror to a sinner. But then the Spirit adds, by the same pen, in the same word, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. When you feel undone, when you dare not approach the Almighty because of your sins, then the Spirit will show you this mediator, one mediator, that, so to speak, puts honour and glory everlasting in the gospel. No higher throne will you ever reach than the gospel, the cross of Christ. No greater honour will ever be on you than the honour that is by the cross of Christ. No way of peace but by the cross of Christ. No way to heaven but by the cross of Christ. Let us, as God helps us, leave all the trappings of an external religion and all the pretensions of Pharisaic nature, and all the obligations that the law imposes, leave them all, and cleave nakedly and alone to this blessed cross. The false teachers gloried in the flesh of these converts. They had perverted the Galatians. And then they were boasting as if they should exhibit them and say, "See what we have done. We've converted these exclusive people. We have brought them into this to add to the Lord Jesus." And says Paul, the more you boast away, the more will I boast of Christ and his cross. The higher you put flesh, the more will I exalt the cross. The more beauty you put on flesh, the more honour and glory and greatness will I attach to the cross. God forbid that I should boast save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I would then bring this before you. By the help of God, speak a little of the cross of Christ. And then the glory in this, and the effect of the cross of Christ. By it the world is crucified to us, and we crucified to the world. We are crucified to the world by the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ, as I understand and view it, means the justice, the love, the pity, and the mercy, the wisdom, and the power of God. It means the justice of God. It says this God could not save a sinner without the incarnation and death of his only begotten Son. Salvation is not an arbitrary act of the divine will only. It is a sovereign decree of God, the decree salvation. But he decreed in exact accordance, necessary accordance with his nature, and this will exalt God in you if you believe this experimentally. If you feel that it is not possible for God to save you unless there be an adequate redemption, a price paid for you to buy you back and to satisfy divine justice, this would exalt the Lord Jesus in your eyes, in your affections. Faith sees this. The justice of God. Justice is that straightness of God's character, that integrity that will allow no abatement of a claim, that will permit no damage to the character of God. It is holding the balances perfectly. Justice. Justice among men is a beautiful thing. Not repellent to an upright person. And if it be so naturally, what must divine justice be to faith? What must it be to faith? It kills nature. It exalts grace. It says the polluted person may not come near to an absolute, a perfect, that is a just God. But it says he has opened a way, a new way, in the person and work of Christ. And it says then you cannot come too filthy. You cannot be too unjust. That is, you cannot be too guilty. What a wonder is divine justice as exhibited and shining in the cross of Christ. Oh, it's glorious matchless, and it shines in the eyes of every convinced sinner. Brethren, seek divine instruction on this point. Salvation is a joyful sound, and the joyfulness of it largely is here. That God's justice is not tarnished in salvation, but honoured. Bright, it has no spot upon it. This is on the cross. We speak of the ignominious tree. And it was ignominious to him who was hanged on it. But oh, the glory of God was there. Christ, the wisdom of God, that such a plan could have been devised, was devised, that such a way of saving sinners should ever enter the heart of eternal deity. Such a way whereby God could be just and the justifier of the ungodly that believeth in Christ, in Jesus. The wisdom of God shines in this. You, as seeing this truth, in the light of the Spirit's grace, will admire that word, Christ, the wisdom of God. Foolishness with men, indeed, is the cross, but to believers, it is the wisdom of God. Wisdom divine is stamped on all the works of God in creation, But oh, there it pales, sinks, fades away when put by the side of the wisdom of God on the cross. He devised this means of bringing his banished ones home. He formed a union, a federal union between the bride and her husband, the Saviour and the saved, the church and her head. He united eternal riches with our poverty, our nature with his person united is exalted. And here the wisdom of God shines. On the cross it shines gloriously. And the truth of God is here. God's truth in the threatening of the law, in the promise made to Abraham, in the types and shadows of the ceremonial law, in all the prophecies that went before Christ, the truth, the word of the living God that cannot be broken. Standing when heaven and earth shall pass away, the truth. This is exalted immeasurably above our conception on the cross. And mercy is here, in all her tenderness, in all the sweet motions of her heart and bowels to sinners. Mercy is here. Mercy to the miserable. What grandeur there is in this. And then power is here. Christ, the power of God. It is omnipotence that can raise a sinner from a deserved hell of punishment to a heaven of glory. And this is effected by the cross. Nothing else could do it. Divine power manifested in the death of Christ. Working by the death of Christ. This is the cross. Divine purposes, holy providences, heavenly leadings, reproofs of children, chastisement of children, bringing back children, careless, caressing children, calling vile worms pure and spotless and without blame in love. All these things are by the cross. Communion with God is here. This is the mercy seat. This is the mercy seat. This is the glorious high throne from the beginning, the place of our sanctuary. The cross is therefore the boast of all who follow the Apostle Paul in his teaching. And have the same Holy Spirit for their teacher. What is it to glory in the cross? Firstly, it is to believe in it. To believe that it is sufficient as a remedy. Sufficient in power and in wisdom. Sufficient to forgive the unworthiest of all. To justify the guiltiest of all, to cleanse the most polluted of all. Do we believe this? Oh, if the cross, as it were, so to speak, throws out its arms and reaches us and embraces us and carries us up in the Spirit to God in reconciliation, then we shall indeed say that we are justified by faith in the person, the work of the Lord Jesus. Yes, sinner, you will boast if you get, this. You'll be richer than all the whole world with this. You'll be a favourite of heaven, a child of God, an heir of God, and a joint heir with Christ. You'll be one with him, one in sweet union, one in nature, one in love, one with Christ. And that will make you boast. It will be an exclusive boast. Number Jesus. The crown is put on his head. The jewels are in his crown. Trophies of grace declare his goodness and his mercy and his love. So the sinner says, I have nothing else to boast of. I do not want anything else. Faith in the bleeding lamb. Oh, what a gift is this. If you boast rightly, you have love. Paul's love was strong, so that he resented as intolerable everything that would come and unite itself with the Lord Jesus. He was not indifferent to the cross. Everything that had a tendency to tarnish it and to make it less glorious, he did resent. He would not have it. I would, he said, they were even cut off, which trouble you. Well, what a spirit. And the people call that a narrow spirit and an intolerably bitter spirit. For as God knows it was in the Apostle Paul, love. As if he should say, I love Christ. I love you. And I resent this false teaching, which has estranged you from the Lord who redeemed you. From the Lord who redeemed you. And if this continues, then I shall stand in doubt of you. My love for him and that gospel is such that I cannot bear the intrusion of anything. And you will find the same thing. In your measure, you will feel just the same. What an offence it is to try and attach fallen nature in any of its works. Yea, the law itself to Jesus Christ. You'll boast of it because of what it is there for. And then you'll boast of it because of what it does in you. Ah, that is a point. Have we been made nigh by the blood of Christ? Have our consciences been purged by the blood of Christ from dead works? Have we had a smile from God? Had a sweet intimation of his love to us through the cross? Have we seen that his honour and the forgiveness of sins go well together? His honour is engaged to save a sinner, to forgive a sinner, to justify a guilty person. And we, in a measure of an experience of that truth, feeling the greatness of it, feeling that this has been done in us. And only God could do it. We must boast and glory here. Let men say what they will. When you can put your hand on your heart, when you can say, my conscience was burdened, and the God of all grace removed it, I was distant and I was brought nigh by the cross. I was distant and I got access through the blood of Christ, by the grace of the Spirit. Then you have a reason to boast, to glory. I glory, says Paul, in the cross. And you can say the same in your measure. It has brought you near. A people near unto him, this near, have all his saints. This must seem a strange thing to those who have no fear of God and no life of God in their souls. But But I can tell you this, that all of you would think, that all you would think to be good, all in which you would boast, wisdom and strength and morality and a religion that pleases the flesh, all this is nothing in God's sight but sin. Coming from a bad heart, it cannot be good. Whereas this, that men esteem shame and reproach, this, in a sinner's conscience, is glory. The glory of God. Jeremiah knew this. I was inspired to teach it. He said, the Lord speaking in him said, that it would be for him, for a name and praise and honour in the earth, to forgive sin, to forgive the sins whereby his people had sinned against him. When you have faith to lay claim to this, then you'll be a happy person and enter into the apostle spirit. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And another reason will be sometimes this, that a stubborn will, a rebellious mind, in respect to some mortifying affliction, you have found to be removed, subdued, and you have been a child. Like as the psalmist speaks of himself, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely, I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child, quiet, resigned, submissive, content to be ignorant of God's purpose that he hides from you, and hope to know that as a father chastens his son in whom he delights, so the Lord your God has chastened you. And this by the cross, yes, the atonement, has an influence on the dealings of God with his people. It softens the lash that is laid on them. It puts sweetness into the bitter cup they have to drink. One more word. We have to glory in the cross of Christ, because by it the fullness of God is opened for the supply of our needs. Yes, the fullness of God is opened for the supply of our needs. Our temporary needs as well as spiritual, eternal. O poor sinner, you are not poor if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. To go empty-handed and weak and poor, you're not poor. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom? So the people of God have reason to glory in the cross of Christ. It has a twofold effect, an effect on the world, an effect on those who are redeemed. By whom? By the cross. The world is crucified unto me. That is a great word to us. Oh, my friends, to look on the world as the Apostle Paul looked on affliction, our light affliction. And to us, this light world, this empty world, this profane world, is crucified unto me. The cross brings wealth to me, brings peace to my conscience, contentment to my mind, rest for my soul, and sets before me what is good. And I unto the world. They did not want it. As the world says, this cross you talk about is foolishness. So you say to the world, this is my wisdom, this is my righteousness, this is my hope, this is my holiness, this is my bread, this is my strength. Oh, blessed is the man who in some measure is able to say, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do not expect an easy path if this is your experience. But you may expect, as heart has it, hope all that heaven has good. There is nothing that God will not give to his people that shall be for their good and his honour. Now, if in any measure, in any proper way, I have said this before you, it will be your wisdom to seek the Holy Spirit's power to make this cross in you what it was made in the Apostle Paul, and to ask that you may have that faith in him who is there. That would exclude all other trusts, all religions, all ceremonies, and everything, to find him. Just what your naked, needy, lost soul needs and desires. Amen. Let us conclude by singing together hymn 925. Hymn 925, tune Blissful Home, 302. Peace by his cross has Jesus made. The church's everlasting head o'er hell and sin has victory won, and with a shout to glory gone. Hymn 925, June 302. Dear Lord, do please pardon all that thou hast seen amiss in our worship. Please own and bless that which is of thee, to thine honour and to thy glory. And Lord, do now please be with us as we part. Be with us during the interval. Bring us up prayerfully, we pray, to the evening service. Lord, and help thy servant in coming up, that it might be thy word which is preached, to thine honour and glory. And now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, sweet communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us. For Jesus Christ's sake, amen.